One thing that a lot of people do when a new year is coming is make a resolution. Saying this is my priority for the coming year. Anybody here make any resolutions? Lou, what resolution did you make? I like that one. Maddie, did I see your hand up? What's your resolution? Read the Bible in 1 year, and guess what? The preacher hands you a tract showing you how to do it. Bob? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that nice? Amen. D? All right. I like that. I like them all. Anyone over here? You'll break it in a week. What's the one resolution most people make that they break? Go on a diet. I saw the little cartoon. These guys were saying, we're going on a diet Monday. And somebody said, this is Monday, next Monday. Did any one of you, besides those that have spoken, set any priorities for this coming year? That means when you set a priority, that you're putting whatever that is first in your life. A priority goes right to the top. I'm going to pay attention to that before anything else. Becomes more important than the other things in your life. Think a little bit. This past year, 2015, what one thing was more important to you than anything else? What one thing drove you? What was your top priority in the past year? I want to give you some guidelines this morning, right out of the Bible. Two questions that I'm going to ask. First question is, what comes first in your life? The second question, does God get your best? What is first in your decisions? Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount that His kingdom was to come first. Listen to what He said. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Very simple. Very first thing He said. Now in the King James it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I read to you from the New Living Translation, above all else. That word seek. That is to go in search of. To make search or inquire. How many of you have ever sought after something? My dad one time was looking for his glasses. He was running all over the house. Where did he put his glasses? Someone pointed out to him that it was on top of his head. To seek for something is to really desire it, to want it, to the point that you're willing to drop everything else and look for that. Go after that. Put everything else aside. This is my number one goal, to seek, search for, inquire about that particular thing. That scripture is found in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. The setting of that word is Israel is standing before Moses, their great leader. This is the guy who went down to Egypt and faced Pharaoh and by the power of God and the miracles of God brought Israel out of the 400 and some years of bondage. He's the one that led them out to the Red Sea. He's the one that raised the rod over the Red Sea and it rolled back and they all went across on dry ground. He's the one who brought water from the rock and manna from heaven to feed them. For 40 years he's been there, guiding and directing and leading the children of Israel. And now he is standing before them, giving them their last instructions. There'll be a time when I stand behind this pulpit for the last time, if the Lord tarries. And that's the way it was with the children of Israel. Moses had reached the end of his leadership. And now he was about to leave. And I can imagine that the ears of the children of Israel were really perked up. They wanted to hear what it was that this great leader who had been in charge and pastoring them for 40 years was going to say. They were about to leave and go over into the promised land. And he is instructing them. What is his instructions? Seek. Above everything else, seek the kingdom of God. Search for, make inquiry with all of your hearts, the kingdom of God. He is instructing them. All their hearts and souls from their inner being, most inner being, from the deep recesses of their heart and soul. He is saying, seek. When you go into the promised land, when you go into this land that God has declared is yours, before you do anything else, search for, seek out God. How many of you know we're living in a strange land now? I don't recognize it like I used to recognize it. Amen? It is a strange country. Things are going on that I've never dreamed would go on in America. How many of you are still out there in the workforce and you're working and you go to work with a whole bunch of other people and boy, aren't you glad to be able to come to church where the air is nice and clean? It's not blue. It's not blue from nicotine and smoke and is not blue from cussing and swearing and taking the name of the Lord in vain. Hello? Isn't it nice to come to church among people who believe like we do and think like we do? But now I'm telling you this morning, tomorrow morning early, the alarm, in case you're not expecting it, the alarm is going to go off. And those of you that are working are going to have to say, get up, old body. Put your shoes on. Brush your teeth. Comb your hair. Go to work. And you say, oh, do I have to? The children of Israel, when they went into the promised land, were going in among pagans and heathens. They were going out among people who worshiped false gods and other gods. They were going among people who did dastardly things even in their worship. They killed their babies as offerings to their gods. They made sacrifice of human beings to please their gods. And these are the people that Israel was going into, and they were going to have to live and clear out many of these people. And Moses is saying to them, before you go into the land, I want you to prepare your heart. Seek above everything else your God. And I'm telling you this morning, before you go to work, before you go out into the world, before you mingle again with your family, this year is coming. I don't know what all's going to happen, but I'm telling you there are going to be a lot of challenges this year for you to live your life, and so you're going to have to determine God comes first. Gentleman was sharing with me the other day that his boss came to him and said, I want you to tell a lie. Fill out some records that weren't really true. Thank the Lord, the brother said to the boss, I can't do that. I can't do that. He was taking a stand for what was right and what was true. And that's the kind of world we live in. This past year, a power of attorney person for another older person called me up and said, Pastor Lay, you have a lot of input into this person's life. And I'm asking you to tell them a story. They didn't want them to drive. They wanted to take their license away. And that was all right. I agreed with that. But the individual was asking me to get their keys back to their car and to help them to go out and buy another car so they would have the keys for it. And they wanted me to tell them a lie. And I said, I'm sorry, Leighton. I'm not sorry. I didn't say I'm sorry. I'm telling you, I will not tell her a falsehood. If you want to, that's your business. You have to answer for that. But as for me, I'm going to stand for what's true and what's right. Amen? And so as you go out into the world, how strong is your desire to be near to Christ? Is that stronger than your desire for other things in 2016? What is it that takes the top order of your life? Christ needs to be the object of our desires. Seek you above all else the kingdom of God. In other words, you have to ask yourself in everything you do, in every place you go, in what all you're involved in, is God first in this? the Apostle Paul declares when he's talking to the philosophers at Athens, Greece. He's meeting with them, and they have their altars of their gods around. And Paul sees this altar that is made to an unknown god. And Paul declares, the God that you don't know, I know. Hallelujah. I know Him. And he began to espouse on the things that God stood for. And he said, His Son rose again from the dead. That really caused a stir among the philosophers of Athens. And Paul said to them, if you will seek Him, you will find Him. God is not far from every one of us. I want you to know this morning that God is readily available. I know there's been those times in my life when I've been praying, it seemed like the heavens were brass. Your prayers weren't getting any place, and you know, you seem like, boy, you're really having a problem and getting through to God, and you can't feel God. I had a brother on the Eastern Shore. He was seeking God, seeking the Holy Spirit to empower his life, and he just wasn't getting any place. And he was coming in out of the pasture field one day and bringing the cows in, and he just couldn't feel God. He looked up and said, God, if I never feel you again in my life, I'm still going to serve you. Amen. And about that time, boom, presence of God came upon him. Hallelujah. So it's not about our feelings. It's about He is there and He wants to be with us. He wants to be in our lives. I'm going to tell you a little secret in case you haven't learned this. When you go to work, you can't drop Him outside in your car and say, now when you get out of the car, now Jesus, you stay in the car all day. I'll see you when I get back. Doesn't work that way. Amen? And if you're having trouble with the boss, or if you're having trouble with workers around you and they're cussing and swearing and using vulgar language and all of that kind of stuff, you can't say, now Jesus, you better go outside. There's stuff going on in here that I know you don't like to hear. You can't do that. You go to the grocery store. You can't let Him outside to watch your car while you're inside there getting all your stuff. I would go a little bit further. You know, there might be some things you pick up that you don't want Jesus knowing about. Hello? There might be some things that you pick up and you stick in your pocket, or you go, you put it in the fridge and hide it back behind everything else. But let me know, let me tell you, Jesus is always present. And everything you do, He is there watching and listening, and He wants to be involved in your life. And you can't tell Him now, Lord, I'm going outside to do something, you stay inside. Y'all getting my drift? Somebody come out with this thing, WWJD. What would Jesus do? I try to live my life by that. Because I want Him in my life. I want Him involved. And I don't want to do anything that displeases Him, or anything that He wouldn't do. Amen? If Jesus won't do it, I'm not going to do it. Hello? If Jesus wouldn't tell a dirty joke, I'm not going to tell it. Hello? If Jesus won't curse, then I'm not going to do it. Amen? If He won't say vulgar words, then
not going to do it. What I'm saying is, Paul is saying, the Lord is nearby. He wants to be in your life. And all you have to do is open up and find Him. He's there. Jesus instructs us in this sermon, seek Him above all else. Nothing is to take precedence over our desire for Christ in 2016. Amen? I pray about what car I'm going to buy. Lord, is this pleasing to You? Lord, is this what You would want me to have? Is this what, I was talking to Brother Louis a little bit this morning about God supplies all your needs, and Brother Louis said yes, but sometimes, you know, He even gives you your desires. Remember that scripture, I think I'm going to come up on it here a little bit later in the sermon, but that scripture where He says He gives us shaken and pressed down and running over. Did you ever get your glass so full you had to get down and... Boy, that's good when you have to do that. The overflow is more than you need. Anybody here ever had some overflow? None of us? Just Al? Anybody here ever had some overflow? More than you needed? And you say, oh, bless the Lord. Amen. So you've got to put Christ first. And I'm telling you, put Him first in your where you live. Put Him first in your life. Put Him first in what you buy. Put Him first in where you work. Put Him first in everything you do in life. That is your priority for this coming year. Seek God above everything else. Amen. Is this pleasing to You, Lord? Is this Your desire? Lord, I want You to be pleased in everything I say and everything I do. You notice the second thing that Moses said to them after he told them to live, seek the kingdom of God above all else. He said, live any old way you please. Bless God, I'm going to do what I want to do. If you want to do what you want to do, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care who likes it or doesn't like it. Amen. Moses said, you Israelites, when you go over into that land, you're going to be bumping into people that do things that are not, you're not accustomed to. He said, I'm telling you, live righteous. Don't be going around just doing whatever your old flesh pleases. Whatever your old mind wants you to do. He said, live righteously. That is, live holy. Live uprightly. Live according to God's standards. Amen. How many know God's standards is not the standards of this world? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Listen to that man. He's telling you what's right. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. They're not by the standards of this world. They're not by what preacher so-and-so says on TV. Amen? They're not by what the preacher says behind the pulpit in Emmanuel Chapel. They're according to Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm telling you what, you don't need to come to me and ask me what's right and wrong. Read the book. Amen. Amen. Read the book. I dare you. Read the book to see what his standards are. Go through the Sermon on the Mount and you will see exactly what Jesus stands for. Fruits of righteousness, what are they? Listen to Paul in Galatians 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Honey, I want my bread now. Well, sweetheart, you're just going to have to wait a little bit. Ooh. Kindness. Hello? Goodness. If it's not good, don't do it. Faithfulness. Well, honey, I don't feel like going to church this morning. You heard that story about the fella. Woke up in the morning, his wife jumped out of bed. Sunday morning, she was rushing around getting ready to go to church. And he was sleeping in, and she said, honey, get up, get up. Ready? We got to get ready to go to church. I don't want to go to church, honey. You've got to. You're the pastor. Faithfulness. Not only in church attendance, not only to the Lord, but faithfulness on the job to Him. Again, it's the same thing I said a while ago. When you go to work, you have to take Jesus with you. If He's living in you, if He's walking with you, if He's in your life, if you want to testify of Him, then you have to allow Him to be a part of your expression to everybody you come in contact with. You can't tell Him before you go on the job. Now, Jesus, you be quiet in there. Don't you say anything today. Don't shine through me. There's a little corner down in there. You get down in that closet and don't come out until after I'm finished working. No, no, no. Faithfulness. We used to sing a little song in church. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Hey, I like that next one. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let the boss it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's faithfulness. Amen. Gentleness. Oh my goodness gracious. Well, that fellow that I work with, I'm telling you what, I'm gonna get him today. I'm gonna let him have it. I'm gonna give him everything. Amen. Lord, you stand back while I belt him one. If I don't belt him, then I'm going to let him have it. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Every time you do that, you lose part of your mind. Gentleness. Self-control. Well, I just lost control. That's all. No, no, no. You allowed yourself to do it. You see, all of these are the fruit of righteousness. This is what we are to be. This is what we are to show forth to the world. This is what we're to show if we are seeking the kingdom of God first. Live righteously.
That's our top priorities. That's what comes first in our decision. Second question, and I've got to hurry on. I know. I want to go get some food too. Does God get the first? Does He get the best of all you receive? There's a little story in the Bible that Jesus tells. Luke 21. While Jesus was in the temple, He watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever laid everything you have on the altar to God? Have you ever said to Him, Lord, everything I've got is yours? I tell the story about the old fellow that went to church and he had a gold coin in his pocket. Offering plate come by and begrudgingly, he took it out and put it in the plate. His neighbor was riding with him in the buggy going home. Neighbor saw it. And on the way home, he looked down in the road and there was a gold coin laying. And boy, he stopped the horse, jumped out of the buggy, grabbed that gold coin, stuck it in his pocket. And his neighbor said to him, said, God knew you didn't want to give it, so He threw it back at you. How much do we have in our lives that doesn't belong to Him? That's mine. It belongs to me. Jesus reveals the results of our first priority. He will give you everything you need, He said. Not everything you want, but everything that you need. How many have more than you need? What are you doing with that? Huh? It's mine. Don't you touch it. Give me mine. That belongs to me. How many of you have said to God, you know, they tell the old story about the Indian. He came to the altar of God and he put his bow on the altar and he prayed and said, Lord, there's my bow. And he put his arrows on the altar and he got his tomahawk and he put it up on the altar and didn't seem to satisfy. He said, God, I'm giving you all of these things. And finally, he crawled up on the altar. And said, here I am. Everything, all of me, belongs to you. Is that the way it is in our lives? Do we give Him the best? The widow lady did. She gave Him everything she had. She didn't hold back. She could have said, well, I'll give God one coin and I'll keep the other one. But she didn't. She gave all that she had. Does everything we have belong? You know, He knows whether it does or not. God knows. I've watched people before when there was a need in the house of God, especially when missions offerings were taken. I've watched people walk up and give their entire savings because the Spirit of God touched their heart and said,
People need to hear about Jesus, and I want to help a missionary. I can't go, but I want to help a missionary to go. It's not like God requires us to give 100% of everything and empty your bank account when you come to church. No, but He wants to know that it belongs to Him. You surrender it all to Him. Listen to the writer in Luke. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Have you ever heard somebody say you can't outgive God? Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever given to Him till it hurts? Have you ever given to Him until it was a sacrifice? We're not really giving, are we? Until it is above and beyond. We pay our tithes at 10%, but that's not ours to begin with. That's already God. And yet I run into people and bump into people that say, well, I can't afford to pay 10%. I can't afford not to.
Amen. Amen.
I've proven God through my life. I've had to depend on Him in times past. I've had to go do extra work in pastoral work, go out and build porches and put roofs on and things of that nature and be able to supply the needs of the family. But I'm telling you what, God has always been there and supplied more. And here He says it. He'll press it down, He'll shake it down. He'll push it down in your lap and then run it over. I want you to listen to the final judgment. You know, all of us, one of these days, are coming to stand before the good Lord. Every person, every human being. Don't get all shook up about Obama. His day's coming. Amen. Don't get all shook up about Trump. His day's coming. They're all going to come and stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every human being. Doesn't matter how poor, insignificant, or how rich and powerful. Soros, George, is going to come and stand before God. Listen. Jesus said this in Matthew 25. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your house. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the King, Jesus, will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. I'll never forget. I just left Walker Hall on Lee University campus. Was walking across the campus to go to class.
And as I was coming across the street, I looked up the street, and here come a ragged old man. Beard, disheveled hair. I kind of wanted to quicken my step. But God spoke to my heart. I was just a student in college. I didn't have a whole bunch of money. Somebody was selling popcorn balls on the side of the street. And the Lord said, "Buy that old man a popcorn ball." I said, "What?" I went over and I bought a popcorn ball and I took it over to the old gentleman and handed it to him. Never saw him before in my life. I've never seen him since. When I handed him that, he looked at me straight in the eyes and he said, "God will bless you." Wow. I'm telling you the story because I still remember it. When I come to stand before God, I'm going to look over and instead of that disheveled, unshaven, old man, I'm going to see a fellow with a bright pair of wings. Because I believe to this day, the Lord said, "Entertain strangers lest you be entertaining angels." God was testing me. Friend, you can never give God too much. Hello? I said, you can never outgive the Lord. J.D. Greer said, there are two ways to live. When it comes to our resources, we can see them as ours and to use as we please, or we can see them as God's, to use as He pleases. When God blesses us richly, it is not to increase our standard of living, it is to increase our standard of giving. We were meant to be church channels of God's blessings. But too many of us want to be reservoirs. God blessed us so that we would bless others. Amen? As Paul says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. Amen? What this means is that if you don't give generously as unto the Lord, you're actually stealing from God. You are embezzling God's finances. Brother Howe, I just laid a piece of paper on your desk in there this morning. Someone gave to Wounded Warriors. And I called them up and I said, how's your project running? And they told me all that they do for the Wounded Warriors. But I found out that they raise millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars every year. But guess what? The top CEOs make almost $400,000 a year out of that money. And all that has been funneled down last year to all of the Wounded Warriors was $800,000+. Makes me mad. I want to lay that self-control on the shelf and go after them. They call me all the time on the telephone. Would you give to the police? Would you give to this? Would you give to that? Would you give to the other? And I say, are you a paid fundraiser? Yes, we are. Well, I want you to tell me how much money they actually get. And without hesitation, they come back and said, well, the people we're raising the money for get 12%, 15%. I said, I won't give to thieves like that. They're stealing. Whoa. You're upset about that. Each person in the church is a non-profit organization. And God has made donations to us, for He wants us to use them for His mission. If we sit on those donations or use them for our own luxury, we're taking what doesn't belong to us. Shouts I can't control. The irony of all of this is that we move more, the more we cling to the things as ours, the more it seems to slip away from us. Martin Luther said, "I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, I still possess." What you keep is all you have. And even that you'll eventually lose. But what you give, God multiplies. Closing, in all the goals you've decided to set for 2016, I challenge you to check your priorities and see if they measure up with God's desires for you for this coming year. Would you bow your head? You can stand with me and bow your head. Now I know if I knew your heart like the Lord knows your heart, there might be some things that I said this morning that don't sit well with you. But I believe it's the truth. And if we'll accept it, if we'll take it to heart, and we say to Jesus this morning, "Lord, it's not my will, it's not what I want. I want what You want. I want what You want in my life. Jesus, more than anything else, I want You to be first and foremost." I'm telling you, Lord, right now, as I stand here in Emmanuel Chapel with my heart and my mind in tune with You, Lord, please be first in my life. I'm opening the door, oh God. Jesus, I want You to direct me. I want You to give me Your vision. I want to have You leading my life before anything else. Oh, there may be some young person here who's saying, "Lord, I'm seeking You about a partner for life." You better get God's permission first. Oh Lord, is this the person You want for my life? Is this the person that pleases You? You come before anyone else in my life, before my wife, before my husband, before my home, before my job, before finding a companion for life. You become priority. Master, even above and beyond making You priority in my life, right now I'm saying to You, Jesus, I'm not going to keep the best for myself. I'm giving You the best. Everything I have belongs to You, Jesus. You just lead me and guide me and tell me what to do with it. I love You, Master, with all of my heart. And that is my priority. Turn to somebody and say, "Christ is number one in my life."